All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So if you can, turn to Acts chapter 15. We're back in the book of Acts. There's a few more chapters, so it'll probably take us about another year, year and a half to get through it. So today, as we pick up in verse 6, we're going to be talking about greater burdens. We've talked about the simple gospel and how we're not to be putting other requirements onto people in order to become saved. But what we tend to do is once people become saved, we expect them now to have everything all under control, to be perfect people. And it's very interesting is that there were these guys that we talked about at the beginning of chapter 15, when Paul and Barnabas, when they come back to Jerusalem, they're telling the apostles and all the elders about what they had done and on their little missions trip. Well, I guess it wasn't a short-term mission trip. It took a couple years. And they're all rejoicing, but then these Jewish believers or Jewish converts stepped up and said, oh, they must be circumcised. We need to go around and circumcise them all, otherwise they can't be saved. And now we're going to get into the fact that the apostles and the elders and basically the board gets together and they discuss this. Because you have to understand that the Gentiles coming into Christianity is something that is still fairly new, even though it's been a few years since Peter did his first conversion of the Gentiles. It's still something fairly new. And now it's becoming widespread that it's the Gentiles that are coming to God. And so now they're having to figure out, how do we differentiate between us and the Gentiles? Now, do the Gentiles now have to follow all the customs and regulations and traditions of the Jews? Or are they exempt from it? And that's what we're going to go over today. And then also, the burdens that we put on ourselves as Christians. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, it says that, is this not the fast I've chosen you for, to loosen your burdens, to get rid of the yoke, to love one another? That was in the Old Testament. God didn't want to burden down people. He didn't want to put all these regulations on people that they feel as though they can't move. And if they break any of those regulations, they feel less loved or less desired by God. And so we're going to discuss how this pertains to us as well. It pertains to those outside the congregation, those within the congregation, but then also about ourselves, the burdens that we purposely put on. And so Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 6, said, so the apostles and elders met together to resolve this issue. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as follows. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach the Gentiles so they could hear the good news and believe. So we know that Peter was the first one to really reach out to the Jews. It wasn't really so much that Peter was willing to reach out. It was more so that he was willing to follow God's leading into an unknown territory. It was always God's plan to bring the Gentiles. From the beginning, he didn't want that anybody should perish. He wanted everybody to go to heaven. But he understood, or God knew, that the traditions that people were brought up with would hinder them from being able to go to God. And when you look at the Jewish religion, it was just another religion of traditions or religion of rituals and regulations. And so it's no different than the one that they grew up in within their own family. They didn't understand the love and the grace and the mercy of God. And they didn't understand it because the Jews didn't fully understand it. How many of you guys have ever ran into a person that claims to be a Catholic, but then they always followed up by, well, I'm not a practicing Catholic. My family's a Catholic, so I'm a Catholic. It's common. And it was the same thing that was happening with the Jews. The Jews, they were not a practicing Jew. They would do Hanukkah. They would do all the different traditions of the Jewish culture or the Jewish religion, but they weren't practicing Jews. They weren't reading the Torah on their own. They weren't studying on their own. And so they didn't understand, they didn't fully grasp the knowledge of God. Now, we can blame that on the Jewish leaders who told them that they can't do it on their own, that they must have the priest interpret it for them. But that excuse can only go so far. That's like me saying, well, I didn't know Allison can do that because this book didn't tell me. Because my mom didn't tell me that Allison was going to do that or Allison wasn't going to do that. So I'm innocent because I didn't know. Well, in any relationship, it's up to who to find out about the other person? It's up to you. It's up to me. It's not up to somebody else to tell me how that person is going to be. God was always that way. He always wanted to have that personal relationship with his people, with everybody. We can see that in the fact that Ruth, who wasn't even a Jew, but was accepted into the Jewish religion or into the Jewish culture so much that then she became an ancestor of Jesus. So God loves to use everybody from the beginning to the end. He just differentiated between those that are willing to follow and those that weren't. He told his own people in the Old Testament to take care of foreigners, to look after the sick, look after the needy. Jesus gives us the example of the Good Samaritan, that it wasn't the Jewish leader that walked by, it wasn't the priest that walked by, it was the Samaritan, a nobody that decided to take pity on the man that was beaten. And then Jesus said, well, who was his neighbor? And so it's not that Jesus only wants the Christians. It's not that Jesus or God only wanted the Jews. No, God wanted everybody. But because of the burdens that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders put on everybody, it wasn't a religion that seemed appealing in any way. And we do the same thing with Christianity. We put burdens on each other. We put burdens on those that just walk through the door. We put burdens on ourselves that God never wanted us to have. He wants us to lay all at his feet. Jesus even told us, take my yoke for its light. And as we go into this new year, we all at a point will reflect on 2017, if you haven't already. For some of us, 2017 was a good year. For some of us, it was a bad year. It seems like for the majority of people, 2017 was just a roller coaster all the way through. You talk to liberals, it sounds like it's the end of the world because we have Trump as our president. You talk to all these different people, and you can see that this world is kind of spiraling out of control. As much as we like to think that we have control of everything, we don't. And one thing that I found interesting, and it was one of the higher ranking officers within Facebook, what he said. He stated that they have designed something that is actually ripping apart society. That's coming from the maker, from the CEO and board members of Facebook. Isn't that crazy? What the one thing that they claim brings us all together, social media, is what's tearing us apart. Because people would rather look at their phone as opposed to hold a conversation with somebody. And so as we reflect on 2017, like I said, it could be either good or bad. But are you carrying 2017 into 2018? If you are carrying it, then I plead with you, give it to God. And when he says that his yoke is easy, it doesn't mean that all the cares of this world are just going to fade away. No, the cares of this world are still going to be there. You're still going to have to deal with your bills, with life in general, with people. You're going to have to deal with them. But when you put your trust in Jesus, then you know that he's going to guide you in the right direction. Because what's the point of a yoke? What's the point of putting a yoke on a cow or a donkey or anything? It weighs them down, but it helps you what? Helps you control the animal, right? If you're putting a yoke on a cow and you're plowing a field, it helps you direct the cow where to go. And so when Jesus is saying, look, put on my yoke, it is easy. I'm going to be the one in control, and I'm not going to rip you around. I'm not going to tug and pull. But if you trust in me, if you trust in the yoke that I'm putting on you, trust in the burdens I'm giving you, you'll find that it's going to be so much easier. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Focus on what's in front of you. Focus on where God is leading you. And know that he has all the small details already worked out, already figured out. They may not seem like a small detail to you, but to God in the grand scheme of things, our life is full of small details. To us, it may be the end of the world, or to us, it may be something extremely stressful, but to God, it's nothing. And so as we go into the new year, give it to God. And so that's what Peter was saying here, is that, look, I went to the Jews or the Gentiles. They received the Holy Spirit just like we did. They didn't have to go and get circumcised to receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to go and be blessed by a priest in order to receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to sacrifice in order to receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he was getting at, is they didn't have to go through all these hoops in order to receive the Holy Spirit, in order to be saved. All they did was what? Had faith. They just believed that Jesus Christ was Lord. They believed the good news. And so, then it goes on. God knows people's heart, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? So if you're wanting to know what is going on, if you go back to verse 5, it says, "But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted, 'The Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses.'" So Peter wasn't getting on to the fact that them being circumcised, when he said that that we weren't even able to carry, he was talking about the law of Moses. Even the Holy of Holiest, the high priest of the Jewish religion, didn't even follow all 10 commandments or any of the laws of Moses or Levitical laws. They all broke them at some point or another. Because when the high priest, the one that's supposed to be the example to all the other Jews, the one that was supposed to be the beaming light within the religion, when he went into the place that was called the Holy of Holies, do you think he was just able to walk right in? Say, "Oh, look at me, I'm so holy. I get to go into God's holy place." No. He had a sacrifice. He had to cover himself in blood, not literally, but his sins in blood. He had to do everything that the Jewish people had to do just to enter in the Holy of Holies. And I've shared this with you before, but it always amazes me how much they didn't fully believe the sacrifices. Because what would they do? After he did all of his sacrifices, would he just walk into the Holy of Holies? No, they would tie a rope around his feet, around one of his feet, and there's bells. So as they're doing their different sacrifices, their different ceremonies within the Holy of Holies, that if the bells just stopped ceasing, they would know to pull the priest out because he was dead. Obviously, his sacrifice wasn't good enough. All of his sin wasn't atoned for. And that's supposed to be the holiest man within the Jewish religion. Still had to go and be accountable to God. And that's what Peter was getting at, is look, why are we burdening these converts? Why are we burdening these Gentiles who didn't even grow up with this religion, who didn't even grow up with the Ten Commandments, who didn't grow up with the Levitical law, who didn't grow up with the Torah and all this being taught to them their entire lives? Why are we now going to put it on them? We don't even follow it, but yet we're going to require them to follow it? Sounds familiar. Church does it. We do it today. We do it to people that come in through those doors. We expect them to behave, to talk, to think, to do everything a certain way as soon as they become a believer. Sometimes even before they become a believer. We set up all these burdens that they must follow and adhere to when we don't even do them ourselves. I've heard lots of different studies from pastors that were saying, well, you know what, we need to pray longer. We need to pray more, which is yes, we do need to pray more, we do need to pray longer. He's telling their congregations that they need to do all that. When statistically speaking, pastors don't pray much longer than regular congregants to begin with. And so some pastors, they put a burden on their congregation that they themselves aren't even doing. And so are we doing that with each other? Now, I'm not saying that we can't help out one another. We can't be there for one another. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because yes, we need to be there for one another. We need to help out one another. And when you think that you're alone through this whole battle, just remember that the person next to you is also struggling. The person next to you also needs help. Because we get into our mind and we start to think that I'm not a good Christian if I'm not doing X, Y, and Z. We start to think that God doesn't love me, or God can't accept me because of this baggage that I'm carrying with me. And in Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens so we fulfill the law of Christ." So what is the law of Christ? We've heard of the law of Moses. We've heard of the Levitical law. What's the law of Christ? Well, the law of Christ is, after Jesus has already come into our lives, what did he say the two greatest commandments ever were? The first, he says, to love the Lord your God with all of your strength, with all your mind, with all of your soul. And then what's great is he follows up with the next one. He says, and the other one is just as important, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So as you're going to take care of yourself, that means you're going to be taking care of other people. Just as you know that the burden is heavy in your own life and the burdens that you carry with you can be heavy, then you know that those that you're following or those that you are interacting with, their burdens are also heavy. And so when we help each other with their burdens, it's not to, say, point out necessarily the burden in the life, but to point out the solution to the burden in their life. And there's only one solution. That's through Jesus Christ. That's through the Holy Spirit. That's through God. Lay your burdens down at His feet. It's so interesting, as I was doing my research for this study, and I was looking up burdens and how God talks about it, there are more scriptures in the Old Testament that talks about putting our burdens at the feet of God than there are in the New. So is this something new to God? No. We love to make things more complicated than they really have to be. Remember the simple gospel? What's the simple gospel? Think about it. What is the gospel? What's the good news? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. That'd be great if that's where it stopped. But it didn't. For God so loved the world, He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I love following that up with John 3:17. For He did not send His Son into the world to what? Condemn the world. But through Him, all might be saved. The gospel, simple. God loves us. Died for us so we can be with Him. Simple. That's what they were giving out. That's what the first generation church was giving out. Now, there were people that were trying to overcomplicate it, as this sect of Pharisees were doing. Saying, no. Yeah, they can come to God, but once they do, now they have to start doing all these other things just like the rest of us. Well, first of all, you're looking at the law as being regulations, rules and regulations and things that must be followed, otherwise God doesn't love you. when the only thing that the law was there for was to point us to God. Show us that we are sinners. That we do fall. We do stumble. And we need a Savior. That's what the law is there for. Now all of us should try to follow the law as much as we can. But when we fall, and you will fall, when you sin and you break one of those commandments, just remember the whole point of it is to show us that there is a God, to show us that there is a Savior, and to remind us why we need Him. And so Peter, he's telling him, look, the Holy Spirit came to us through us and to them. God made no distinction between the two of us. So why are we now challenging God? Why are we putting a burden on them that we came and bear, that our ancestors came and bear? And then in verse 11, he says, we believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. So by His undeserved grace, or by our undeserved grace, God has saved us. Grace and mercy. Don't worry about the difference between the two of them, because they both have very similar meanings. Ultimately, we have found favor when we don't deserve it with God. He gives us gifts, even though we don't deserve them. What's great about it is there is no naughty and nice list with God. We're all naughty. We're all sinners. The Bible even tells us that we're all wicked. There's not even one of us that is good. None whatsoever in all of history. Except for Jesus Christ. So if we want to look at a naughty and nice list, there's only one name on the nice list. But yet God says, you know what? Because there is that one person, you all can come over. All you have to do is you have to accept His deeds. You have to accept what He did, not what you did, in order to be accepted. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to celebrate. He wants us to be joyful even when the world tells us not to be joyful. He wants us to be happy in the sadness. Not because He wants us to be emotionless. It's not that He doesn't want us to be empathetic. But He says, look, I've already taken care of everything. Rest in that. Dwell in the fact that He's already taken care of everything for you. And know that there's nothing that you can do. There's no words you can say. There's no deeds that you can commit. There's not enough food you can hand out to the homeless, enough money you can give away to charities that can buy your way into heaven. And that's why He's saying, look, don't put all that on you. Don't complicate things. Don't weigh down the gospel. Don't weigh down the relationship that God wants with you, but instead, take on My yoke. It's very, very light. It's very easy. Trust in God. Have faith. Because that's what Peter just said, right? He said they were saved by their faith. Jesus, I don't know how many times Jesus had to tell people, you are healed by your faith. By your faith, you can see. By your faith, you are saved. To the thief on the cross, did Jesus make the thief on the cross come down, get circumcised, and then follow all the Ten Commandments before he said, oh, now you'll be with me in paradise? No. What did the thief on the cross do? One was mocking him, one was making fun of him, but what did the other one do? He cried out. He said that Jesus was innocent, that they deserve to die, but he doesn't. And then he cried out, God, remember me. And he goes, you'll be with me in paradise today. There was no rules and regulations that he, or hoops that he had to jump through. He didn't have to be a Christian for 10 years and then die and then get into heaven. He believed, and his faith allowed him to go to heaven. He understood who Jesus was on his deathbed. Literally on his deathbed. He was hanging on a cross waiting to die. And he understood who Jesus was. When all the people around Jesus were mocking him and saying, oh, if you are the Son of God, come on down from there. And they were throwing scriptures at him and just making fun of him. That thief next to him understood who he was. Now, it doesn't say if he was a Jew or not, but he was on the cross. And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. No regulations, no rules, no burdens. And that's what Jesus Christ offers us, is for us to trust in him, let him do all the heavy lifting. Let him be the guide in our lives. And that's what he's talking about there, is that we don't deserve it. Peter was saying, we don't deserve God's grace. In any way, shape, or form, we don't deserve it. But yet God gave it to us through our Lord Jesus. Verse 12, everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told about the miraculous signs and the wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. So once again, reaffirming that God didn't care about the regulations. God wasn't being held back by these rules. And so then, verse 13, it says, when they had finished, James stood and said, brothers, listen to me. Peter has told you about the time God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for himself. And the conversion of Gentiles is exactly what the prophets predicted, as it is written, afterward, I will return and restore the fallen house of David. I will rebuild its ruins and restore it, so that the rest of humanity might seek the Lord, including the Gentiles, all those I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken. He has made these things known so long ago. And so, he was quoting from the prophets. He was quoting from Amos, and then he also quoted from Isaiah. Two Old Testament books, ones that were written hundreds of years prior to this point. And so, is it a mystery that God wanted the Gentiles? It shouldn't have been. But people were so burdened to follow these rules and regulations that they didn't understand the full scope of the relationship that God wanted with them. And it's the same thing with us. We can't put so many burdens on ourselves that, oh man, I must read my Bible 15 minutes every hour. I must pray at least for 30 minutes a day. I have to witness to people. I have to be out there evangelizing. I have to be doing this, that, and everything else. That you're missing. You're so focused on your ministry, on a calling, that you're missing the relationship. You're missing the broader spect of things. You're too burdened. Now, am I saying that we are never to witness? We are never to read our Bible? We are never to pray? No. But just understand that those things are going to come natural as you grow in a relationship with God. As you grow in a relationship with God, you'll understand that you will want to read the Bible more. You'll want to know God more. You'll understand that in order to have an intimate relationship with Him, you're going to have to talk to Him. You're going to have to pray. You'll understand that there is a need in this world for Jesus Christ. Some people will say that the burden for the lost, well, it's a different type of burden. To where you'll have a longing to save those that are lost because you yourself have been saved when you were lost. Like I was talking in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, take on each other's burdens. When you have that relationship with God and you grow in that relationship with God, you'll understand about the burdens of other people and how they can weigh them down and how the bonds of this world and the sin in our lives can hold us back from doing what God really wants us to do. And that is ultimately to have a relationship with Him. Just like with this last week as we were preparing for Christmas and all this, and if you guys don't know, Allison is phenomenal when it comes to like crafts. When she comes to making stuff and putting things together, it's amazing. I love to sit back. I try to help out wherever I can. Most of the time I'm getting in the way. But it's just amazing to watch her and see how she could pull out of nothing something that's awesome. Like, for instance, we were trying to figure out a gift for my brother-in-law. And we had some ideas we were throwing around. Well, time wouldn't allow it, this and that. She just happened to be walking through the 99-cent store, saw some blank mugs, and said, oh, this would be cool for George. She showed it to me. I'm like, it's a blank mug. She said, well, here, we'll put some writing on it. And she came up with this whole thing. My brother-in-law loves The Godfather. So she found The Godfather font, and she put on it The George Father. It was really cool. And then on the back, she put a quote from The Godfather. I'm not like a boss, I am the boss, type thing. I would never have thought to do that. And then she took a piece of plywood, she told me to cut out a piece of plywood and paint it white and then paint it black. She sanded it so where some of the white came through, and then she put, because he also does like recordings, and she did like this thing on the silhouette, put it on there, vinyl, painted it. And in the end, it looked awesome. I couldn't help but stand back and just go, wow, my wife is awesome. I took pictures of what I was able to, because she also made like stockings for each child, and me and her. Yes, I'm still considered a child. And they look awesome. She personalized each one to the person. Okay, she made it, and I just had to take a picture of it. I did post it on Facebook, and I was like, look at how amazing my wife is. Now, I couldn't post everything because there was Christmas gifts. I didn't want to ruin the surprise for people. But it's the same way with God. When we come to that relationship with God, and we learn more about what that means to have that relationship with God, and we start to see the amazing things He does, we can't help but go, wow, isn't my God amazing. And we can't, then we want to share that because we want other people to know how amazing our God is. But the only way that that can happen, the only way that any of that can come about is first by having that relationship with God and growing in that relationship with God. Because we go through these phases in relationships in real life, right? When we first get into a relationship, we're all excited. We want to show off the new thing in our lives. Girlfriend, boyfriend, newlyweds. Isn't there something about newlyweds that they're always just beaming? They're really happy to be in the marriage that they're in. Boyfriend, girlfriend, as they first start dating, they're excited. They're always around each other, always talking with each other. They're always, you know, sharing pictures of how cute they are. But then as time goes on, what happens? That kind of fades, right? Kind of goes away. And then something amazing happens. We're like, oh, sweet, awesome. I got to share that. I got to show that. I got to talk to people about it. Same thing with God. When we first come to God, we're all excited. We feel as though we could do anything and everything. We want to share with anybody and everybody about God and what God has already done in our lives. And then we start to go and we start to get into the rhythm of Christianity. And that talking becomes less. Sometimes that talking becomes non-existent. For some people, it doesn't come back because they're now following the rules of Christianity. They've traded the relationship of God that they had at the very beginning for religion. God talks about that when, in the book of Revelation, when he's writing to the people of, I want to say, Laodicea, when he says, look, you've left your first love. Basically, he's telling him, look, you replaced a relationship with a religion. That closeness that we had before is now gone. Come back. He's always pleading with you. Come back. Don't start putting these burdens or these bondage things of bondage on you. Come back to God. Remember, his yoke is light. I can't stress that enough on you guys this morning that his yoke is light. His burden is easy. Because I guarantee you, some of you, immediately after this service, is going to start putting the burdens back on. We all do it. We start getting into the mentality, oh, this is how it has to be. And then when you have that relationship with God, when you actually have that relationship with God, yes, there'll be a time where you're going to be silent, but then God's going to do something amazing in your life. And he's going to reignite that fire underneath you to where then once again, you're going to want to share with people. Do I share everything that my wife does with the world? No. I don't think she'd want me to. Is every moment that I spend in my life having to reflect the fact that I love my wife? Do I have to tell people every moment that I love my wife? Or do they just know it? It's the same thing with God. Same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Is not every single moment has to be a point of you shoving Jesus down their throat and saying how much he loves you, loves them, and how much you love God, and how you're doing this all for God, and how if they don't turn to God, then they're going to hell, and this and that. That doesn't have to be every single moment. But your life should reflect the fact that you love God, and God loves you. I've had people ask me, Why am I so happy? Because most of the time, outside of church, I'm smiling. Like if I'm talking to somebody, I'm smiling, I'm cheerful. And I've had people ask me why. Even when I'm working graves and I've been up all night and I'm dead tired, I would talk to people, I'm not talking even at work, just outside of work on my way home or whatever. I'll be talking to people and I'm upbeat. And I take those opportunities. I say something simple just to see how much they actually want to hear. I'll say something simple along the lines of, why shouldn't I be? And then they'll be like, well, this, that, and the, like, those are small things. Well, didn't you know about this came into effect? It's not going to change my life. It's not going to change my outlook. And it opens up the door for me to share Jesus in a very personal way with them. In a more customized way. Jesus is not a cookie-cutter God. He wants you to share the gospel, yes. He wants you to live the gospel, yes. One thing that he doesn't necessarily want you to do, and I've never seen it in the Bible, is shove it down their throats. I've never seen in any of the epistles, any of the gospels, anything where either Jesus or the apostles shoved the gospel down somebody's throat. There are times where they had hard truths, where they had to give out the hard truth, but they didn't shove it down their throat. They talked to people that were willing to listen. And that was it. Because the burden isn't heavy. The rules and regulations aren't there. We put those rules and regulations into effect. We can see that how church has changed throughout history. I'm talking not just within the last 100 years, I'm talking about within the last few thousand years. We can see how church has changed. We can see how the hearts of people have changed. And we can see what happens when there's been rules and regulations set on people. And then what happens usually after it, when there's a great revival and those rules and regulations are kind of broken away and God is able to share the love. How many of you are familiar with Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King. Martin Luther. You might recognize what he did when he posted the 93 Theses on the door of the Catholic Church. He wasn't doing that out of defiance of the church. He was doing that because they were following tradition, not the relationship. And that's what he understood, and that's what he was bringing about, was the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. It was getting rid of all that burden that the Catholic Church and the Church of England and everybody else put on people and say, look, it's about the relationship with God. It's about the love of God. It's about the mercy of God. It's not all about all these other things. It's about one thing and one thing only. It's the love of God in our life. And so what burdens do you have this morning? What do you have to give up? Because that's what it's all about. That's what the relationship with God is all about, is us giving up more of us and taking on more of Him. When you can see outside of time, and see how short our lives are, it makes things and puts things in a totally different perspective. This time that you're going through, this year could have been horrible. You could have hated it. You're hoping that 2018 will be better. But here's the thing that God is saying. Look, that happened. 2017's gone. Let me guide you through 2018. Let me be the leader. When we do that, like I said, not everything in your life is going to go perfect, but things will line up. You'll be able to see the next point that God is taking you to and know that He's already taken care of it. He's already gone through it. He's already figured out how you're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z because He is the one in control. But when we take our focus off of Him, we don't see the fact that He's already taken care of it. We start to try to take care of ourselves. When we take care of ourselves, I guarantee you, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. And you're going to get frustrated, stressed out, and want to give up. Don't give up. Give in to God. Let's pray. God, we just praise You for this morning. I would just ask that You allow us to take the blinders off, Lord, and allow us to focus in on You. Allow us to see You for who You are and the love that You give out, Lord God. And I just ask that You be with us this evening. Allow us to have a safe New Year's. Lord, allow us just to enjoy and celebrate what the life You have given us already, Lord. Allow us to put all of our trust and our hope into You into 2018. We praise You and glorify You that You do have everything under control. And I would just ask that You would strengthen and encourage this congregation as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys.